before starting the auspicious reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's recite the opening prayers. Nigamakalpatarorgalitam phalam sukamukatam rita dravasam yutam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavukah narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udirayet nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya greetings from Srimad Bhagavatam entitled on canto 5 chapter 3 entitled Rishabhdeva's appearance text 8 since it's a prose text we don't have to repeat responsively just read from the text
आत्मनैवानुसवनम् अज्ञासाव्यतिरकेन भूभूयमानशेषपुरुषार्थस्वरूपस्य किन्तु नाताशिष आशासनानामेतद् अभिसंराधनमात्रं भवितुमर्हति
वट्वट् आत्मनः सेल्फ सफिशियंटली एव सर्टनली Anusavanam at every moment, Ajnasa directly, Avyatirakena without stopping, Bobhuyamana increasing, Asesha unlimitedly, Purushartha the goals of life, Surupasya your actual identity, kintu, but, natha, O Lord, ashishaha, benedictions for material enjoyment, asasananam, of us, who are always desiring, yetat, this, abhisamradhana, forgetting your mercy, matram only, bhavitum arhati can be. Translation by Swami Sabhachananda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Let's repeat it responsibly. All the life's goals and opulences are directly, self-sufficiently, unceasingly, and unlimitedly increasing in you at every moment. Indeed, you are unlimited enjoyment and blissful existence itself. As far as we are concerned, O Lord, we are always after material enjoyment. You do not need all these sacrificial arrangements, but they are meant for us so that we may be benedicted by your Lordship. All these sacrifices are performed for our fruitive results, and they are not actually needed by you. Purport by His Divine Grace of Chandra Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Srila Prabhupada. Being self-sufficient, the Supreme Lord does not need huge sacrifices. Fruitive activity for a more opulent life is for those who desire such material opulence for their interest. Yajnartat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Bhagavad Gita 3.9. If we do not act to satisfy the Supreme Lord, we engage in Maya's activities. We may construct a gorgeous temple and spend thousands of dollars, but such a temple
is not required by the Lord. The Lord has millions of temples for his residence, and he does not need our attempt. He does not require opulent activity at all. Such engagement is meant for our benefit. If we engage our money in constructing a gorgeous temple, we are freed from the reactions of our endeavors. This is for our benefit. In addition, if we attempt to do something nice for the Supreme Lord, he is pleased with us and gives us his benedictions. In conclusion, the gorgeous arrangements are not for the Lord's sake, but for our own. And if we somehow or other receive the blessings and benedictions from the Lord, our consciousness can be purified and we can become eligible to return back home, back to Godhead. Om Ajnanatim Randasya Jnananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmaya Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Dadati Sukadantikam Vandeham Sri Gurun Sri Utapata Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagagana Lalita Sri Vishakanditam Sri హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగత్పతి గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి శుభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛా కల్పతరూభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః మావం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని తామే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాతి పశ్చాత్తేష్టాని శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాసాది గౌరభక్తువృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ముఖం కరోతి వాచాలం తంగుంగాయత్రి కృపాతమహమ్మందే శ్రీగుణం నిర్తానం ప్రమానందం మాధవం శ్రీ చైతన్యమేషం కథాంచన స్మృతిరస్మిన్ దుష్కరం శుకరం భవేత్ విస్మృతే ప్రీతం స్యాత్ శ్రీ చైతన్య నమామితం నమః విష్ణాయ కృష్ణాయ వదిలేషితి దేవతాకస్మి నమః చైతన్య దైవాత్మన కరుణానందన హరే కృష్ణ మై నేమ్ ఇస్ హరిలీలా దాస్ అండ్ దిస్ ఇస్ మై ఫస్ట్ అటెంప్ట్ టు స్పీక్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం in this wonderful dham of Mayapur. So I request the blessings of all the assembled senior Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis so that whatever I speak may be pleasing to you, just like the broken linguistic atoms of a small child is pleasing to their parent. So please bless me. So today we are in a very wonderful situation in Srimad Bhagavatam where we are in a big festival. This festival is being conducted by Maharaja Nabi for the purpose of getting a son. And for the past few days, we have been seeing how the Brahmanas have been doing this yajna, this huge yajna, so wonderfully, so beautifully, and with all their shraddha, with all faith, and with all love. And Maharaja Nabi is so eager to receive the mercy of the personality of Godhead, and the personality of Godhead does appear personally in the sacrificial arena, being attracted by the love and devotion of Maharaja Nabi. So we are here in the audience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself by the mercy of this wonderful literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which gives us this association which is otherwise not possible. So when we open the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, we get this wonderful association of various personalities, these great devotees, the personality of Godhead himself, who comes directly and stands in front of us and speaks words of wisdom from which we can understand what is the purpose of our life. And now, seeing this Lord standing in front of them, the Ritvijas, the sacrificial priests of Maharaja Nabi, they are offering wonderful prayers in glorification of the Lord. And in that glorification, they also contemplate deeply on their position, on their purpose, on their motive of doing various things, why they are engaged in these activities and what they want from these things. And doing so, they also glorify the Lord with so many beautiful words which are so carefully chosen. That's why the Lord is called as Uttama Shloka, the one who deserves to be glorified the most by the most choicest words. And in this verse specifically, these priests, they are reflecting about the service which they are performing and the importance of their service which they are performing to themselves. So in this material world, we also perform services. And normally, when we perform services in this material world, the person who is receiving the service, he needs that service. Also, when we perform the service, we also need that service, because we also get some benefit out of it. So there is some mutual benefit, there's an exchange of some mutual facility when services are performed in the material world. In plain simple English language, this is called, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. But then when it comes to the Supreme Lord, it's not that he requires us to scratch his back. And if at all, if he wants to scratch his back, he makes such wonderful arrangements for scratching his back. You know, he keeps the Mandara hill on the ocean of milk, and then he arranges for Vasuki to become the rope. Then there are the demons and the demigods, they are all pushing this rope and pulling this rope. Hee-ha, this side and that side. And the Lord is simply down, holding the whole Mandara mountain. And then he is like, oh, this is nice scratching of my back. So the Lord is called as Urukrama. Something, whenever he wants to do something, he does it so wonderfully that people get flabbergasted. Oh, how is this being done so wonderfully? How is this being done so opulently? How is this possible? So it's just simply not possible for us to go and scratch the Lord's back. It's that simple. But still, somehow or sometimes when we do devotional service, we tend to carry this mentality, thinking that, oh, we are doing nice service. But we don't realize how insignificant we are. So this priest, in this particular verse, they are reminding us of this eternal fact that we are simply an insignificant, infinitesimal servant of the Lord. So the priests are saying that all the goals of life and opulences are directly, self-sufficiently, unceasingly and unlimitedly increasing in you at every moment. Indeed, your unlimited enjoyment and blissful existence itself, as far as we are concerned, O Lord, we are always after material enjoyment. You do not need all these sacrificial arrangements, but they are meant for us, and so that we may be benedicted by your Lordship. All these sacrifices are performed for our fruitive results, and they are actually not needed by you. So the Lord has appeared in front of them, and they are seeing this wonderful form of this Lord, this beautiful form which is described so many times in Srimad Bhagavatam, that form like a lightning, so beautiful, so wonderful, with four arms, having Shankha, Chakra, Gada and Padma, and shining helmet, and well-oiled curly hair, and all these things. They are so pleased to see the Lord, but at the same time, they are also so embarrassed, because they know what they are going to ask the Lord. They know what is their application to the Lord. Because simply seeing the Lord, this is the purpose of life. The Lord is called as Nayana Abhirama, the one who gives pleasure to the eyes. And seeing him is simply the purpose of life. And they are seeing him. And it is not so easy to see him also. Brahma Samhita, it is stated, Panthastu koti satavatsara sampragamyo vayo rathapi manaso munipungavanam so pyast yat prapata simni avichintya tatve govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. So there are great mystics, there are great yogis, they are sitting hundreds and thousands of years, satavatsara sampragamyo. They are sitting and they are meditating, they are doing so many gymnastics, standing in fire, standing in water, that, this, up, down, so many things. But still, they cannot understand even the tip of the toe of the Lord. That is the greatness of the Lord. And that Lord is kindly standing in front of them. And what they are going to ask, they think of it and then they become ashamed. Just like Dhruva. Dhruva was looking for a kingdom. And his mother told him, my dear boy, if you want to solve your problem, you have to go to forest. And go and ask Lord Vishnu. This is what I know. I cannot tell you more than this. And then the boy went to the forest, and he was so fortunate to be guided by Narad Muni. And he was so determined, he was so austere, he did wonderful things. He just wanted to see the Lord, but for asking for a piece of land. So the Lord appeared in front of him. And when the Lord appeared in front of him, Dhruva was thinking, oh, what I have got now. And then this very wonderful verse in Haribhakti Shuddhodaya, which is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was saying, Sthana Vilashi Tapasistitoham. Sthana Vilashi means, I have been looking for a piece of land. And Tapasistitoham, I am simply standing and doing so much of austerities for this thing that I want a piece of land. But what I have got, Tvam Praptavan, I have got yourself, I have got your lordship. And how difficult it is to get you, I know this. Because he says, Deva Munindra Guhyam, that you are not even revealed to the demigods, that the 33 crore demigods, you are not revealed to them. You are not even revealed to great sages. Muhyanti yat surayaha, Bhagavatam says. So then he thinks of his own position. And then he says, Kancham vichinvan. I was just looking for pieces of glasses. But then what I get? Apidivya ratnam. I get the most transcendental gem, my Lord. I get you. Now, Swamin kritarthosmi. I am so much satisfied. I am so much satisfied. Varam nayache. I don't want any benediction. I don't want kingdom. I don't want anything. Nadhanam, nadhanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam va jagatisha kamaye, mama janmani janmanishwere bhavatat bhakti rahaitu kitvai. So I got devotion. I got something which nobody can get. It's so difficult to get. Sudurlaba. I got that. So now I don't want the land. I don't want the piece of kingdom. I don't want this. So he got so ashamed of what he wants. So nowadays, our city is growing. In Mayapur, we are going to become a big city. So many things are happening. So many development is happening. And I also came to Mayapur as a sthana bilashi. When I came to Mayapur, I was thinking that I want some place in Mayapur to stay. I want one flat. I want this. I want that. So I also came to Mayapur as sthana bilashi. I was thinking that, okay, I'll get some facility. I'll get some arrangement here. I'll stay in Mayapur. So many people are coming here also. They want to buy land, they want to do this, they want to do that. All sthana bilashi. But then, we should be very careful while doing this. Yes, these are all required. Arrangements are required. The city has to grow. Everything has to happen. But we should be very careful. In the process of doing these arrangements, we should not miss this Apidivya Ratna. The transcendental gem of the love of Godhead, which is so easily available here by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should not do some business and go away from this place. So we should be very careful. Like this priest, these Ritvijas, who are so careful, they know that they are going to ask something which is insignificant to the Lord. So they are so careful. They are reflecting on their position. They are reflective. They are very reflective. Their prayers are in a very reflective mood. They are thinking, what we are going to ask and what we have done. We have done so many things. And how can we think that because of our various arrangements, the Lord has appeared here? No, He has appeared on His own mercy, just for our benefit. And Lord is not going to be benefited by all these things, by all these yajnas, by all these offerings, by all these ghee, and by all these mantras, and by all these swahas. He doesn't want all these things. He is not some demigod who survives by His havir. You know, when yajna is done for demigods, they're all... these things are offered in the Agni, and it's called Havir. And this is carried by Agni's wife, Swaha. She carries it to the different demigods, and demigods survive by this. They need this Yajna. This is explained in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord explains the cycle of sacrifice. But then this cycle of sacrifice is binding. It binds us to the material world. That's why, as a preamble to the entire cycle of sacrifice, the Lord speaks this verse, which is quoted by Srila Prabhupada, in this purport, Ajnartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sanga samachara. Work done in this material world should be done as a sacrifice to Vishnu. Otherwise, work done is binding. Therefore, O son of Kunti, you do work in this way and then be liberated. Mukta sanga samachara. Be liberated from this material attachment. So, even if we have material attachments, Even if we are Sakama Bhakta, we should be intelligent enough to channelize such attachments or these material attachments or material desires through the medium of Krishna consciousness. Like Maharaja Nabhi is doing now. Like these Ritvijas are doing now. That they have channelized this material desire to have a son through the medium of Krishna consciousness. So then this becomes liberating. How Kardama was doing. Kardama wanted a wife. Kardama wanted a wife so that he could have sons. He was a prajapati. He had to do his job. So it was his job to have children. It was his job to have daughters. It was his job to have son. But he went to the Supreme Lord. He meditated on the Supreme Lord. He said, "Oh my Lord, this is my job, but I want to do this through you. So please, you select one wife for me. And you become my son. So that I can be delivered." So we see this technique which these great souls are teaching us, that how to handle desires in life, how to channelize them through the medium of Krishna consciousness, which is very, very important for us. So Prabhupada also, it's told in Srimad Bhagavatam that akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradihi tivrena bhakti yogena ijeta purusham param. That we may be completely devoid of material desires, or we may have all sorts of material desires, everything in this world I want, sarva kamova, but all these people, simply they have only one path, which is tivrena bhakti yogena. We should very seriously engage in devotional service, not a peripheral way, not in a very playful way. We should seriously engage in devotional service. Tivrena bhakti yogena ejeta purusham param. And then the Lord knows how to purify our heart through the medium of our material desires. So this is very nicely explained in Madhya Lila chapter 22, where the Lord's thought process is explained. The Lord is thinking that my devotee is not so good because he is asking for some material benefit. But then I am intelligent. Why will I give him material benefit? Instead of that, I will give him the shelter of my lotus feet. He will understand what is the taste of the shelter of my lotus feet, and he will forget the material benefit. So this is the Lord's equation. And in that, Prabhupada gives the example, one of the purports, Prabhupada gives the example that how the child wants to eat mud. The child is interested in eating mud. The child wants to eat mud. And the parent, to correct the child, the parent buys sandesh for him. And he says, okay, you want to eat mud, you eat sandesh. You want to eat something, eat sandesh. Okay. So when the child eats sandesh, then he gets a higher taste. Param drishtva nivartate. Then he doesn't want to eat mud. So this is what Krishna does. Krishna takes that whole material desire, he works around it in such a way that we get a higher taste out of it. If you are sincere, if we tend to channelize our desire through the medium of Krishna consciousness, then Krishna also helps. So we do all these things, we do all these procedures, we do yajna, we do so many things, we do our sadhana bhakti, but we should always keep in focus that all these different procedures, all these angas of sadhana, they are not binding to the Lord by themselves. The Lord is not bound by them. The Lord is not bound by the different procedures which we follow. The Lord is not bound by the sadhana which we do. But what attracts the Lord is the component of love, the component of devotion, the component of sincerity, the component of repentance and penance, which is mixed with this sadhana. When there is no repentance and penance, then the sadhana becomes dry. Then we can do this, but it becomes very dry. When there is no penance, when there is no repentance, when there is no devotion, then it becomes dry. Then the Lord is not attracted by it. So that is what these Ritvijas are pointing out. They are saying that, "Oh my Lord, we are not of the false opinion that you have been bound to appear by the different procedures we have followed. It is not that these procedures are binding on you and they are not making you appear. You have appeared on your own accord. And these procedures which we have followed, they are simply for our benefit. We have done them because we need them. You don't need them." So we should have this clear understanding when we serve ISKCON. That sometimes during the course of our service, we get so many responsibilities. And devotees are also so merciful, they always tell us that, "Oh Prabhu, your service is so important and your service is so much required to ISKCON. You're doing such a responsible job, you're doing something very great. And then we also foolishly tend to believe this. We think, "Oh, this is right, I am so important, I am doing such a wonderful service, I am a very important man." But no, this is not right. ISKCON doesn't need our service, Prabhupada doesn't need our service. We need to serve ISKCON. We need this service. We need to serve Prabhupada. This is for our own benefit that we should be engaged in the service. We are like beggars. We can't be choosers. So we have to beg for the mercy of the service. We have to beg to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, please somehow engage me in your service. We have to beg to this movement, this wonderful movement, this wonderful platform which is created by the Prabhupada, that please let me be engaged somehow here. And Prabhupada specifically speaks about a gorgeous temple in this purport. So we have one gorgeous temple being built here, the temple of Vedic Planetarium. And few days back, I was so fortunate to be present in one of the meetings of my Guru Maharaj, Visvanatha Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, where he was so intently discussing about the minute details of the exhibition of Vedic Planetarium. So I was seeing his mood of service, how he is so dedicated, how he has understood this secret so clearly, how in spite of all his inconveniences, bodily inconveniences, he is so intent in doing what would please Srila Prabhupada. We have to somehow understand and imbibe this mood when we serve ISKCON. That when we serve ISKCON, we have to clearly understand that by pleasing Prabhupada, we are the ones who are going to be benefited. It is not that by our service ISKCON is benefited. It's not that Prabhupada wants our service. We need Prabhupada's service. This is something which is extraordinarily important for us to understand. Then if we somehow try to capture this mood of these Ritvijas, get into the depth of what these people are telling, why they are saying these things, and how this is relevant to me in my day-to-day life, how it is relevant to me in my service which I do, then we understand that how important it is for us to serve Prabhupada and ISKCON. We understand that this is the boat which Prabhupada has left for us to simply cross over this material of this ocean of material existence. And this is the boat which Krishna has approved, because it is left by Srila Prabhupada, his pure devotee. So we should not only understand the goal which Prabhupada gave us, but we should also strictly follow the method which Prabhupada gave us. We should never try to deviate from the method, thinking that we will achieve the goal, but we will deviate the method. Doesn't work, because it doesn't become the boat. It doesn't become the same boat which Prabhupada left us. So these are some subtle things which we should meditate upon. These are some subtle messages which is given by the statements of these Ritvijas. They are going to speak so many learned words. Every day we are going to hear these words. These messages we should very deeply meditate upon when we are in ISKCON and when we are serving ISKCON. We should always have this check and balance, that is our desire to serve is in line with Srila Prabhupada's instruction. Is it the same thing? Are we doing the same thing? Are we doing something on our own? Are we doing something which we think is right? So these are very important meditations which we do in our service, which we have to do in our service. And somehow or other, if we can capture this mood, if we can capture this understanding in our heart, then we can understand that we have to somehow be engaged in serving this movement. And this is our own benefit. And this platform of ISKCON, this has come to us by our good fortune. This good fortune is created for us, specifically for me, for you, for every one of us sitting here, and all those people who are in ISKCON. Every member of ISKCON, this good fortune has been specifically created by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And he has given this opportunity so that we can do some insignificant service. We can try to purify ourselves, and we can hope at some point of time that the Guru Parampara will be pleased by what insignificant offering which we have got to give. We can hope that at some point of time Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. We can hope at some point of time Krishna will be pleased. And then this service will become our sole passport to enter back home, back to Godhead, to see the Lord. When we understand this, when we understand that it is this serious, when we understand that this service is this valuable to us, then we will not be attracted by pieces of glass which are strewn all around. We will be simply attracted by that transcendental gem of love of Godhead, which Gauranga Mahaprabhu came to specifically to give to all of us so freely. We will be attracted to that lotus feet which has been attracting millions and millions and millions of devotees who never want to leave that lotus feet. We'll be attracted to that beautiful Lord, to that beautiful Lord, and we'll be attracted to the service of that beautiful Lord, that we will surely understand and we'll surely realize what it means to serve the Lord. So I will stop here. It's 8:30. We have some 10-15 minutes for comments, some corrections, questions. I think Prabhuji, if you can give the mic.
Hare Krishna. Is it on? Yes. Thank you very much. Very enlivening class. Very much appreciated. You spoke about an awareness of our tapasya, our penance that we're performing, that we have to rectify ourselves. And I was very impressed by that. We don't hear that very often in a class, that we are actually penitents and our business is to reform. Sometimes we think, I have nice position, I'm on the boat, as you mentioned, and I'm doing nicely, but we forget that our business is to take on the hardship and accept it properly and work with it to rectify ourselves, rectify the mentality. You mentioned also on the boat, I was thinking, one is on the boat, yes, we're in the ISKCON boat, but with just a little deviation of the mind, you get on another boat. You don't have to cross the water to get to the other boat. It's very simple to jump ship, as they say, and go to another boat. But thank you very much. Very nice analogies. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, want to add something? Anybody else wants to add something?
Thank you very much for a nice class. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us na dhanang na janang na sundari kovitang, this nice verse. So what is the meaning of these bars and how can we apply in our own life? Please explain them. Okay.
The meaning of this verse is that Maya has got many attractions to offer. When a jiva, actually we as jiva, we have entered this material world because we wanted to rebel and we wanted to enjoy away from Krishna. And the particular means of enjoyment in this material world are dhanam, janam, sundarim and kavitam. That is, dhanam means material wealth, janam means followers, sundarim or sundaram, beautiful men, beautiful women to whom we get attracted to, and kavitam, we get attracted to knowledge. So these things, you know, the material enjoyment, bhukti and mukti, these are the major attractions of Maya. Maya has spread a big exhibition here in this material world. In these 14 planetary systems, we have a huge exhibition which is running, and Maya is running this exhibition. And this exhibition is filled with these two things, bhukti and mukti. Mukti is of course beyond this 14 planetary systems, but it's still an attraction which has no value, no substantial value. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us that we should not get attracted to these things. Normally, when we read this verse, we think that this verse applies to people outside ISKCON, people outside the material world, They are attracted to followers, the politicians are attracted to followers, the industrialists and businessmen, they are attracted to money, everybody is attracted to sex, and some scientists and these people, they are attracted to knowledge, and we are renounced. That is the position we generally take. And we tell them generally these people are karmis, you know, they are karmis and we are devotees. But then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking this verse, he is speaking for everyone and more so for practicing devotees. Because for karmis, the attraction is obvious. It is gross. For karmis, the attraction is very gross. We can make out, if somebody falls for a girl, we can make out, oh, he has fallen for a girl. If somebody is running behind money, we can make out, oh, he's running behind money. This is very easy to make out. But for devotees, these are very subtle, very, very subtle, very difficult to understand. It looks even to ourselves that as if we are not attracted to this. We ourselves think that we are renounced. We think, oh, I'm not attracted to this. Oh, I left my job. I came to ISKCON. I came to serve. I was having such a nice job. I was sitting in Dubai. I was so well situated. I was driving a big car. See, I have renounced everything. Now I'm sitting in here in Mayapur Dham and I'm giving class. See, I'm such a renounced person. It looks to me that I am renounced. But then there's that undercurrent of attraction, mental attraction, which is running deep into my heart. I want this. I want to give class. I want to be glorified. After the class, I am thinking, who is going to come and tell me, oh, Prabhu, you gave a nice class. who is going to tell me, oh, Prabhu, your class was very deep. I am looking for this. I am looking for Kanchan Michinwa. Just looking for a piece of glasses. Just looking for a piece of glasses. So that's what Dhruva Maharaj is telling. But then Dhruva Maharaj's attraction was gross. But when it comes to devotees, our attraction is very subtle. So we should every day go and beg in front of Radha Madhav. Every day we should go and beg in front of Panchatattva. We should every day we go and beg in front of Prabhupada and in front of Narasingha. Especially there's one very beautiful verse in the fifth canto, which Prabhupada writes in the purport of that verse. Prabhupada is specifically writing that any devotee who has material desire, every day he should go and stand in front of Narasimhadeva and recite this verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Tejas Tejasa Avir Avir Bhava Vajra Naka Vajra Damsta Karmashrayan Randhaya Randhaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuista Om Shraum. So this very powerful verse, the powerful verse where we are actually inviting Narasimhadeva. We are telling Narasimhadeva, Avir, Avir Bhava, please come, please come, please come and reside in my heart. There is one big Hiranyakashipu whom I am keeping in my heart very secretly. I am nourishing him. I am giving him all that he wants and I am growing him very secretly. This is my secret Hiranyakashipu. I am having him in my heart. And unless you come and then with your nails and with your so strong teeth, you're not going to tear him into pieces. This is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So as devotees, we should be very careful what is our attraction. What are we attracted to? What we are attached to? Sometimes we are attached to our service. We say, Prabhu, this is my service. That's not my service. Somebody comes and tells you that, please do something else. No, 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 it's not my service. Sometimes we are attached to our situation. We think I am grahastha, I am brahmachari, I am sannyasi, or I am this and I am that, and we get attached to that situation. Sometimes we get attached to position. Sometimes we get attached to facilities. Sometimes we get attached to seniority. We think I am senior devotee. Oh, these people are junior people. There's so many things, there's a host of things we can get attached to within the gambit of devotional service, which looks very legal also. That is the difficulty. That is the difficulty. So we should do internal examination. We should very, very, very closely do our internal examination. And this examination, not once in a month or once in a year. It's not a reflection which is to be done once in a month or once in a year. Every day we should reflect. Every day we should be careful. Every day we should be aware of what we are doing. Every day we should think about the pitfalls. We should think that what did I do? How did I deal with devotees today? Was it right? Was it correct? What all did I do? We should meditate. Because being a devotee means this is a life of responsibility. It's not some irresponsible life. Prabhupada says even human life is a life of responsibility. Then what to speak of devotees? A devotee life is a life of huge responsibility. Because we are not only responsible for ourselves, we are also responsible for so many others who look at us. Our actions are perceived and are accepted as actions of ISKCON, not as action of some individual. When I'm not a devotee, when I'm not wearing this dress, when I don't have tilaka, when I don't have gantimala, when I don't have all these things, when I don't have these externals, then I go and do something. I'm one of the millions of people who have done something wrong. But when I'm wearing this gantimala, when I'm wearing this tilaka, then I have to be very careful of how I am behaving, what I am doing, because this directly reflects on Srila Prabhupada. This directly reflects on ISKCON. So we have to be careful. That's how we apply this verse. Every day is a day of meditation for devotee. We have to meditate on different activities. And next day, we should come, stand in front of the deities and beg for forgiveness if we have done something wrong. தத்தேனுகம்பம் சுஷமிக்ஷமானோ புஞ்சான ஏவாத்ம கிருதம் விபாகம் ஹிருத்வக் வபுபிர் விததன் நமஸ்தே ஜீவேரையோ சமுக்திபததாய பக். That every day we should remember this verse. Every day we should come, stand in front of deities, and every day we should report to the deities that this is what we have done. What is wrong? If I have done something wrong, this is my attachment. Please take it out. Because Krishna says very clearly, Daivihi yeshagnamayi mama maya duratiya. It's not possible. It's simply not possible by human effort to cross over maya. It's simply not possible. That's why he says, Maam eva ye prabhatyante mayam etam tarantite. So he clearly defines how we can cross over maya. This is Krishna's definition. So there is no appeal to this definition. So we have to stand in front of the Lord. We have to beg in front of the Lord every day. Please, please help me to cross over this ocean of maya. That's how we apply this verse. One of the senior devotees advised to me when I came to Mayapur. He said that there are two things you can fall for in Mayapur. One of the things you can fall for is money. But somehow or other you made your money, maybe you will not fall for it. The second thing is that you can fall for position and you can fall for the opposite sex. So he said, be very careful. So I asked him, how to be very careful? How I can protect myself? Then he told, every day go in front of the deities and recite this verse. Na danam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatat bhakti rahaitu. So that every day we are in focus. In management, we say that if we want to achieve something, we should write it in front of us. This is a management principle. We say that, okay, you want to do this, you write it in front of you. You keep it in front of you. Always keep it in your vision. And so that when you are sitting in your seat and when you look in front, then you know that this is what you want to achieve. So always you get constantly reminded of this. So every day we have to constantly remind ourselves what is our goal, why we came to Mayapur, why we took a particular ashram, why did I become brahmachari, why did I become this, why did I become that, why did I leave Dubai and come. You know, so many things. We have our own things which we do, our own life which we have lived, our own goals for which we came to ISKCON. Every day we have to renew ourselves. Every day we should have this mentality of a new devotee. Every day we should renew ourselves. By this we can apply this verse directly. It's okay. I think it is 8:45. So the time is up. So whoever wants to leave for different services, you can leave. 3 minutes. Okay. Sorry, my watch is a bit fast.
I was going to ask the question in this particular verse. The priests are saying you're not attracted to the gorgeous arrangement of our sacrifice. You're not attracted to the fire. You're not attracted to the paraphernalia. You're self-sufficient. So I was going to ask the question, how does this apply to the Sankirtan Yajna, the Yajna that we're performing? What is it that the Lord's attracted to and not attracted to?
As far as the Sankirtan Yajna is concerned, or it's a principle. What the priests are speaking is a principle. What applies to different yugas is a detail. The principle is that the Lord is attracted by devotion. What applies to different yugas, what applies to Satya Yuga is meditation, what applies to Dwapara Yuga what applies to Treta Yuga is fire sacrifice, which is what's happening. What applies to say something to this effect. Prabhupada says that yes, there are so many things told in the scriptures about chanting of the holy name, and all of them are true. He says, he confirms this. Yes, even if one per, if a person
for one time the holy name of the Lord, the Lord is delivered, all these things are
But then Prabhupada puts a rider on that. Prabhupada says, but then there's something called quality of this chanting. That's the rider Prabhupada puts. And Prabhupada puts that rider, and then he goes on to explain what that rider means. He says that unless that quality is there in chanting, that quality is what? That quality is devotional service. That's exactly what the Ritvijas are also telling. That there are gorgeous arrangements, there are so many things, but the Lord doesn't want all these things. The Lord is attracted by the devotion. So they know that the Lord is not attracted by the externals. So even in the Sankirtan Yajna, in the Sankirtan movement, if it is just external, if there is no internal devotion to it, of course the holy name of the Lord has got some power, some potency, something is there in the Lord's holy name. But then the quality of utterance is also there. That's why Prabhupada told how we should chant. Of course, you all know these things, but still, since an opportunity, I'm trying to tell that Prabhupada said that it should be a genuine cry of a child for the mother. So, if we analyze this analogy, it's very interesting because there are different types of cry of a child. Because I am a grahastha, I know these things, that sometimes the child cries simply. And then the mother knows that this is not serious. But when the child starts to cry genuinely, then immediately the mother, whatever she is doing, wherever she is, there is a connection, there is a subtle connection between the mother and the child, and the mother knows immediately. The child may be in some other room, but she's immediately attracted to that cry. So Prabhupada gives this specific analogy, qualifying the chanting. So in Sankirtan Yajna also the principle applies that if there's only externals and if the underlying devotion is not there, it's not very much attractive to the Lord. It's okay? I think we should close because we already...
Excuse me. You explained the attachments which are unfavorable, not favorable, unfavorable to pure devotional service. Could you please explain where we should have this attachment which is conducive to pure devotional service?
I didn't get the question properly. You asked me to explain.
You explained in your class that. All the attachments which are unfavorable to pure bhakti.
Yeah.
But we are, attachment is we have to be attached. So where should we put our attachment that would be conducive to pure devotion?
Yeah, you want to know where to keep our attachment. So you want to know where to keep your attachment. Yeah, where to keep your attachment.
Where?
Yeah, this is explained by Srila Prabhupada. This is actually the responsibility of a Madhyama Adhikari devotee, that he should know clearly that his object of love is Krishna. This is where we should transfer our attachment to. Attachment cannot be given up. We cannot make it zero. This is not our principle and this is not practical because we are going to have desires. The desires are going to be there. But instead of null, and it is not possible to nullify desires. We can do two things. One is we can cultivate positive desires and we can ignore negative desires. Krishna gives this principle, apuryamana machala pratishtam samudram apa pravishyanti advat tadvat kamayam pravishyanti sarve shashanti mapnoti nakama kami. This is the formula for ignoring material desires. He says that there may be so many desires which are coming out of the mind because mind is a desire machine. Mind's job is to produce desires. But we are not the mind. When we say we are not the body, we are not the mind. So let mind do its job, we'll do our job. It's as simple as that. Mind will keep on throwing desires at us. Oh, you can do this, oh, you can do that, oh, you can enjoy this, oh, you can enjoy that. If we start running behind each and every desire, we are never going to be peaceful. That's what Krishna says. He's giving that warning in the shloka. So he says that ignore the negative desires and develop positive desires. We can develop the desire to serve the Lord. We can develop the desire to be sincere to the instructions of the spiritual master. That is a key desire. That's a key desire. Because in the purport to Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana Bhagushaka Anantascha Buddhi Avyasayanam, Prabhupada quotes this verse, Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagatiku topi. Dhyayans to vams tasya yasasthi sandhyan vande guru shri sanarvindam. So this is the key desire which we should develop in our heart, that how we can somehow satisfy the instructions of the spiritual master. The instruction of the spiritual master is standard. He tells us to follow four regulative principles. He tells us to chant 16 rounds. And he tells us to help in his efforts to spread the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And these are our vows. We have taken these vows. So we should keep on purifying these vows. This is just that. At the Kanishtha stage, we follow these vows, but then they are not pure. We are still attracted to some things. So our whole mission of life is to purify our initiation vows. And as much as we purify our initiation vows, so much we will get attracted to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada gives this principle in one of the purport in the first cant of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, unless you are attracted to the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, you cannot be delivered. But unless you have a pure mind, you cannot be attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam. So unless your activities are pure, your mind cannot be pure. So then he goes on to say that unless you are eating, sleeping, mating and defending is pure, your activities will not be pure. So the whole exercise of a practicing devotee is to simply purify our eating, sleeping, mating and defending. That's where we should get attracted to. We should get attracted to purifying our activities through the process of Krishna consciousness by simply following the instructions of the spiritual master. So if we can somehow get attracted to this, if we can somehow develop attracted to this, if we can somehow go on purifying ourselves, at one point we can get attracted to Krishna Katha. We can get attracted to that Katha Ratim and we can appreciate this. Saunakarishi asked this question, Kona Kuryat Kataratim? Who will not get attracted to these wonderful narrations of the Lord? But then I am thinking, I am not attracted to this. Why Saunakarishi is asking this question? Is it so natural? Yes, it is natural. But we are not attracted to this because we are having so many problems. So the whole idea is, by chanting Cheto Darpana Marjanam, this to purify our the mirror of our heart, simply by chanting, simply by concentrating on the basic instructions of the spiritual master. That by itself is sufficient. That will open up the whole treasure house of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's okay? Next. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gurudev ki, Gaur Premanande.